B61. Number 2B.
So, let's make a clear, deep impression on our consciousness that really science demands that we go out from the capitalized terms, and that is the climax of metaphysics. If you look at the textbook and ask ourselves, how often does she speak about metaphysics? How often does she speak about science? Then we see very quickly that what the proportion is. She speaks about 70 times about metaphysics in the positive sense. But when she speaks about science, it's 1,000 times. So the proportion is from 70 to 1,000, or 7 to 100. And you can see that what Mrs. Eddy really wanted to bring to the world consciousness was not so much metaphysics as such, but really science. But science includes metaphysics. See, metaphysics does not include science, because science is the bigger concept. Can you see that? You just tell me when I should repeat something. You are absolutely free to interrupt. Metaphysics is a standpoint by itself, does not include science. It leads to science. That's what Mrs. Eddy said. That it leads to science. But science includes divine metaphysics. That's the point. So we do not do away with metaphysics when we reach the point of science. But we go out from science, and from there we include metaphysical reasoning, divine metaphysical reasoning, scientific metaphysical reasoning. So we must not forget that. That's so to say, metaphysics first is a preparation that leads thought to scientific metaphysics, to divine metaphysics, and finally to science itself. Now, let's contemplate the difference together. I will do it together with you. The difference between metaphysical thinking and science. And we do that in a very simple way by going through the seven synonymous terms together. We take each synonymous term and contemplate how we think in metaphysics and how it shows itself from the point of view of science. I take mind. In metaphysics, I give just a tone. In metaphysics, we think about God. We think about God. We think about ideas, don't we? Instead of thinking in mortal mind terminology, in human mind terminology, in opinions and so on, we begin to think in terms of ideas. That's very good, because ideas are always good. They are never evil. Therefore, we do something very positive. Now, what would be the standpoint of science? Instead of thinking about God and about ideas, what do you think would be science now?
God knowing its own ideas.
God, mind, knowing its own ideas. Isn't that a terrific difference? Can you see that? It's something very different if we try to see ideas and to know ideas because we don't know which ideas we really should think about, or if we see that mind, the infinite mind, knows itself as all ideas, then we know that that is the right mind. Yeah? Okay, we go on with others, and as we go on, perhaps you get into the rhythm. In metaphysics, we think. Thinking is always limited, isn't it? Because it depends on the human thinking. Well, how is it in science? Emma, just loud. You always know the answer, right? Yeah. You're seeing that mind is unlimited, has an unlimited knowledge of its own universe, therefore knows all, we come back again, knows all, knows everything. Yes? In metaphysics, we see that man is a thinker, we think. How is it in science?
Man is the force.
Yes. See, when you say we know, then you go out again from the we. We know. Mind knows. Mind alone knows. Mind alone is, so to say, and man, therefore, is the known of God. Now, this is completely different. If I see that man is the thinker, then man is just as much as my thoughts embrace. And again, it's limited. But the moment I think that man is that, what God knows about me, about man, then I have a much larger sense of mind and of man. And man is really the idea of mind, and not what we think. Is that clear? That enlarges everything. In metaphysics, we can ask, how big is an idea in metaphysics? How big is an idea in metaphysics? When I think metaphysically about an idea, how big is it?
Small.
It's small. Why is it small?
Because it has limitation.
Because there's limitation. Yeah. If I go out from science, how big then is an idea?
Infinite.
Yeah. It's as big as God. Yeah. That's the difference. If I think about an idea, you see, I only think really in the limitation of what I think. Therefore, what I know, what I have stored up somehow in my knowledge, whereas in science, I see that mind is big, that the idea is big, that the idea is always as big as the infinite one. And this is naturally a terrific thing, when I begin to see that every idea is as big as the infinite one. Therefore, the power of an idea is the power of the infinite one. In metaphysics, how powerful is an idea that I think? How big is an idea that I think?
Small.
Small again. It's thought power. Can you see? It's thought power. It's not mind power. Do you see why Mrs. Eddy says that the works on metaphysics leave the grand point untouched? They never crown the divine mind as the Messiah. The Messiah is the Christ power. They never crown the divine mind as the power. Therefore, in metaphysical practice, you believe, so to say, in the power of thinking, in the power of thought, in the power of thought transference. Isn't that so? And that's very small. It's limited. It's not divine. In metaphysics, we seek God. And we know that seeking is a great asset, is a great quality in metaphysics. How is it from the point of view of science? Yes?
we go out from God? Do we seek? No. Huh? You see,
this wonderful quality of seeking that is so important in the Bible, which is also important in the chapter on prayer, for instance, in textbook, gets a higher sense. The moment we see that if we go out from science instead of divine metaphysics, that there we are not seeking, that mind knows, that we are at the point where we see that mind is all-knowing, is the all-intelligence, and therefore seeking, the place of seeking, is then taken by mind's knowing of itself. Can you see that metaphysics is a way? Science therefore shows your standpoint from which to go, which we can go out.
In metaphysics, in divine metaphysics, Mrs. Eddy says also, study the letter and imbibe the spirit. How is it from the point of view of science? Yeah? Being. Well, has that to do, yeah? What then takes the place of studying? Study the letter?
Understanding,
for instance, huh? Yes? That mind reveals itself, huh? We don't have to seek or study, huh? At that point, mind reveals itself, huh? It manifests itself. Mind is then the light that comes to us. You see? So again there we can see that we have two different standpoints. Now naturally, as I have said, science always includes metaphysics, divine metaphysics. Therefore, the divine mind reveals itself to us and gives an answer to our seeking. If there is no seeking there, we will not find an answer. You see how important, therefore, true metaphysics is. Because if we are not seeking, our mind is closed. And therefore, mind's revelation comes to a locked door and cannot enter. Yes? Comes to a dirty window pane and cannot go through. So both sides are necessary. But we must see that we do not hold with our metaphysical approach, that we must see that there is a higher standpoint, that standpoint of science. Yes. Let's take a few examples from spirit, for instance. Now we have seen that ordinary metaphysics reasons from matter to idea. It's always that which you know from experience with other students, that they ask, what is the idea behind this and that and the other? What is the idea behind an experience? What is the idea behind a chair, the idea behind the house, what is the idea behind this, behind. That was usually the discussion, especially at the beginning of this century. Everything that that had to be demonstrated, one was asking what is the idea behind it, because one knew that things are not reality, that behind things are actually ideas, and so on, was making that false conclusion of asking from the object to the idea, what is behind idea. Now, what is the science standpoint? Do we reason from matter to idea? Or how do we reason there? Yeah. Yes, sure. We reason from God, huh? Namely, that we reason, if we reason from cause to effect, that we always start out with God, and reason from God to ideas, only ideas. In metaphysics, we have the demand, the command to distinguish between the real and the unreal. That's the second day of the firmament that says that the firmament makes a distinction between real and unreal, between good and evil. And I think it's a good thing if we try to do that. Is this science? What do we do in science?
Well, only from the real.
Sorry.
Well, only from the real.
We see the onlyness of spirit, which has no duality. Yes? Therefore only expresses itself and unfolds the true idea. So that in science we are not really distinguishing constantly between the true and the wrong, because if we reason from mind, then spirit says, I'm the only, and I know only my own ideas. And therefore, there is no more that point of distinguishing constantly between what is good and what is evil. How can we distinguish between good and evil? What do you do if you distinguish between good and evil? How can you distinguish in a situation? You have a certain situation in your life. How can you say if it's good or if it's evil? How can you do that? Can you do that? Oh, you make a reality of evil. That's not good, huh? No. Yeah. Yeah.
But if you distinguish, you're looking at the evil. You're saying
yes. Yeah. Therefore, can you actually distinguish between, say, to a situation, this is good and this is evil? You know, you go, say, through a very crucial point in your life. I don't know what it can be. It can be a loss of somebody, or it can be a lack of a finance, or it can be a disease, or it can be this or that. How can you say this is evil or this is good? How on earth, what is your criterion to say that something is good or evil?
You think there's a normal situation that is chosen over the other.
Yeah. You think that there is a normal situation. What is the criterion to say what is normal?
If it's an idea, wouldn't that be the real?
That would be the real. How can you know that it is an idea? If you are in the hospital in bed, how can you know that this is an idea?
Well, it's through your study.
Yeah, yeah.
You have to accept the text as revelation.
Yeah.
When you study that,
yes.
That tells you what's real, which ideas are real.
Yeah. Could you therefore say right from the beginning that if you lie in the hospital sick in bed, that is good or is evil?
The situation itself.
Yeah. You can't tell. You see, that's the point. You can't tell a situation. So, in metaphysics, you would tell. In metaphysics, you would say, this is evil, because good is health. You would at once make that distinction, say, in metaphysics, sickness is not good, therefore it is evil. Whereas in science, you wouldn't say that. In science, you would say, as Patricia says, you cannot tell from the situation. The situation does not give us a clue if it's good or evil. And she said, but how can we know? We can only know if we go back and say, what has brought this situation about? What was going on in reality that this situation was brought about? And only then can we see if it's a good thing or a bad thing. But not reasoning from a situation, you know? And that is a crucial point, you see, that we are tempted as students that we judge a situation from our standpoint, and we have our standpoint of normality, and then judge that situation according to our sense of normality. But it's our sense of normality, and that we have seen is limited and is very often false. In most cases, it's false. Therefore, a situation can only be judged from the cause. Reasoning in Christian Science, again, we begin with mind. That can only be understood through the ideas of mind. That can only be understood through the Christ working. What the Christ has in mind. What the Christ feels is necessary for a situation. What the Christ feels it wants to do with us. And very often that Christ says, I want to overturn and overturn and overturn and overturn and overturn. And you don't like it. And so the human mind says, this is evil, and the divine mind says, no, that's me. Yes? So in the overturning, there is no criteria what is happening. You have to go back, really, to the cause and see, what is the cause? From where does the situation come from? From where does the situation come? Yes. Is that clear? So, at the point of spirit, we are here at the point of spirit, where we said, metaphysically we make the mistake that we think that we can separate something and say what is good and evil. We can't. We must use science in order to find out if a situation is right or wrong. Because only the cause can define the effect. The effect cannot give us an indication if it's good or evil. Let's take something else in spirit. In spirit we have always the warfare with the flesh. Ideas versus illusions. Trying with ideas to combat the illusions. And we have the constant struggle as the symbol of this state of mind. How is it from the point of view of science? In spirit, you only have the only one-valued logic. Therefore, from spirit, we never have a struggle. Spirit never struggles against the flesh. Because it has no duality. There's only the one value, and therefore, spirit has no struggle. Can you see that? Therefore, as long as we struggle, we know that we are in metaphysics. That we haven't touched science. And therefore, it's only in metaphysics that we have chemicalizations, that we have crisis, that we have all that battle going on. Whereas if we turn to science and go out from science, from the only reality there is that knows no other, that knows no opposite, spirit knows no opposite, the struggle ceases. The warfare ceases. Only in metaphysics we have the warfare. And we struggle eternally. And then one situation is solved, we can be quite sure that another situation arises and the struggle begins again on another level, on another situation. It's only then when our consciousness is raised to the standpoint of science, there we have as a starting point spirit, which is the only, then there is no more a struggle. And the warfare ceases. Can you see how we can evaluate situations? We can evaluate, do I struggle? Struggle means I have an opposite. I have an enemy. An enemy that is in my mind. It's not an enemy outside, it's always within my consciousness. How can I solve that? I have to go higher to the housetop and stay there. No more go down from the housetop and stay with the one spirit and see that one spirit only knows itself. It has no consciousness of anything but itself. And that is the Christ to the situation. That is the Messiah. Then we crown really one spirit as the Messiah.